Okay, so are you ready for this? We are diving deep into a topic that has honestly sparked centuries of debate.
Yeah, centuries.
What does the Bible say about homosexuality?
It's a big one.
It is a really big one, and this is something that, there are so many strong opinions and interpretations out there. We really want to go beyond just the surface level. Like, what do people say these verses mean? What do they actually say? And what was the historical context surrounding all of it?
Yeah, what's the background? What's the actual text say? And what are some of the different ways it's been interpreted throughout history?
Exactly. And we are using for all of this excerpts from the Bible itself, like just straight from the source. We really want to give you guys the full picture. We're not here to take sides or preach or anything like that. It's about, giving you the knowledge so that you can make your own informed opinions. So let's jump way back, okay? Way back to the Old Testament. Leviticus specifically. Things get pretty intense there, don't they?
Leviticus, it throws some pretty strong language at us. We're talking about Leviticus 18.22 and 20.13. And the word used there is abomination. And the punishment, if you can believe it, death.
Like, wow, okay, so we're dealing with some serious stuff here. But obviously, we can't just read these verses with like 21st century eyes, right? I mean, there's so much historical and cultural context we need to consider.
Oh, absolutely. To really understand these passages, we've got to travel back in time, put ourselves in the shoes of the people who lived when these texts were written.
So, like, paint us a picture. What was going on back then that might have influenced how these laws were understood? What was the whole vibe?
Well, for starters, purity laws were a massive deal. We're not just talking about, ritual cleanliness. These laws were about maintaining order, separating the Israelites from surrounding culture.
So it's like creating a distinct identity.
Exactly. It's about boundaries, cultural identity, and defining what it meant to be part of that community. So, seen in that light, these verses might not have been solely about condemning specific relationships, but more about preserving their way of life.
It's like more about us versus them than about judging individual relationships. It really makes you think, huh? How often do we just take things at face value without considering the whole picture?
All the time.
All the time. Okay. And of course, there's that other big story that always comes up in these discussions, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lots of people immediately connect it with homosexuality, but I know some scholars interpret it differently. Fill us in. What's the real deal with this story?
Oh, Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, that's from Genesis 19. It's definitely one of the most talked about stories in the Bible. And you're right, it is complex. The text itself doesn't actually come right out and say why those cities were destroyed, which of course leaves a lot of room for debate.
So it's like a historical mystery. What are some of the theories out there?
Well, some scholars do link it directly to homosexuality, saying that was the primary sin. But others argue it was more about the people being inhospitable to strangers or even about violence and social injustice. Some interpretations focus on the attempted gang rape of the angels, emphasizing the violation of hospitality and the threat of violence, not consensual same-sex acts.
See, that's what's so fascinating about all this. So much is open to interpretation. So we've got this like really intense backdrop from the Old Testament, but then we move into the New Testament, and how does the conversation change there?
Well, things don't exactly get simpler. We've got passages like Romans 1:26-27, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, and 1 Timothy 1:8-10, right? They use some pretty harsh language too. Unnatural, shameful, the message is strong.
Yeah, and the stakes are high. It sounds like there's a real concern about, eternal consequences like exclusion from the kingdom of God. Intense stuff.
But again, context is everything. We can't forget the world early Christianity was born into, the Roman Empire, heavily influenced by Greek philosophy. And in those philosophies, sexuality was often viewed through a very specific lens.
What kind of lens are we talking about here?
Well, they really emphasized procreation, like having children was the primary purpose of sex. Anything outside of that was seen as, well, unnatural by their standards. So these New Testament passages could be reflecting those prevailing cultural norms as well.
So maybe it's less about condemning specific people and more about aligning with the dominant worldview at the time. It's like these layers of context just keep adding more depth and nuance to the conversation.
Layers and layers, yeah. And our source actually points out that even today, there's no single, universally agreed upon way to interpret these verses.
No, because I feel like that's often how it gets presented. Like, this is the way to understand it.
Yeah, but it's not a black and white issue. There's a whole spectrum of beliefs out there.
A spectrum. Okay, so like, what are the different points on that spectrum?
Well, on one end, you have those who interpret these verses as a blanket condemnation of all same-sex relationships, no matter what. But then you have others who are more focused on specific acts, the cultural context, or whether a relationship is exploitative or abusive.
So it's not just about yay or nay, but about digging deeper into the why and the how. Can you give us some concrete examples of how those alternative interpretations play out?
Sure. For example, some scholars argue that the verses in Leviticus might actually be condemning specific sexual practices that were common in pagan rituals, things that were seen as idolatrous or harmful to the community.
So it's not about who you love, but about what you do and the context surrounding those actions.
Exactly. And then you have others who focus on the power dynamics present in some of the verses. They argue that these verses are primarily condemning exploitation and abuse, not consensual, loving relationships between two equals. Like, for example, with the Sodom and Gomorrah story again. Some interpretations focus on the attempted gang rape, right? Highlighting the violence and violation of hospitality as the main sins.
So the focus shifts from same-sex attraction to the issue of power and consent.
Right. And that really changes things, doesn't it?
It really does. Makes you realize how much our understanding of these texts is shaped by our own perspectives and the lens we're looking through.
Absolutely.
So for our listener out there who might be thinking, okay, this is all very interesting, but why should I care about biblical interpretation? Like, how does this ancient stuff affect us in the modern world? It seems so disconnected.
Well, it's definitely not disconnected. These very verses are being used today to justify everything from love and acceptance to, unfortunately, discrimination and exclusion. People are using them to shape laws, to influence public opinion, even to hurt others.
So it's not just an academic debate. It has real-world consequences.
Huge consequences. That's why understanding the different interpretations, the historical context, the nuances, all of that is so crucial. It equips us to have more informed and respectful conversations about these sensitive topics.
And that's what it's all about, right? Not just winning arguments, but actually understanding each other.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that this is a complex issue with a long and complicated history, and people are going to approach it from different perspectives. And that's okay.
We've definitely unearthed a lot to think about today. It's been quite the journey, exploring all the different ways the Bible has been interpreted when it comes to homosexuality.
It's amazing how much history, culture, and personal belief gets tied up in these interpretations.
And this is a conversation that will likely continue for, well, who knows how long. But hopefully we can all approach it with a bit more humility and empathy after this.
I hope so, yeah. With a willingness to listen and learn, you know, there's always more to discover.
And as you, our listener, continue on your own journey of understanding, we want to leave you with this final thought to ponder. What role should ancient texts play in shaping our understanding of modern relationships and identities?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a question that deserves a lot of careful thought and open discussion. It's not an easy answer, but it's an important one to grapple with. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. We'll see you next time.
See them. Bye.
Bye.